yesterday we, I don't remember what we talked about. I mean, no, we talked about
Galatians.
Yeah. But we were in Galatians for one day, the last few days. I don't remember which day. We talked about two are better than one, and I talked about it's not good for man to be alone and all that kind of stuff. Anybody have any thoughts about how you invented yourself, or did anybody hear me? Huh?
I told you last night I had a strong remembrance.
And so if you know that you invented yourself, then why would you still give yourself any credence?
Because it's worked so well.
Really good at this.
Why would you trust any aspect of what your belief system and your thought process?
Just as much as we invent ourselves, aren't we invented by other people also?
Not unless you agree to it. So therefore, it's a self-inventation.
No, when you're a child, you can't necessarily agree to it.
Well, but you can dismiss it. I mean, some people can't. They become. But most of your identity has been invented by you. Again, remember we talked about towards pain. I mean, towards pleasure, away from pain.
I was watching yesterday. I don't know if it's lunch or dinner. Was watching Fiona. And she comes in here and she thinks of things, performance art to do, so that everyone will pay attention and pat her and tell her she's cute and all that kind of stuff. That's it. It's just performance art.
But it's critical that you understand this at a core level, because otherwise you won't know what I'm going to talk about.
I think about the term also of opinions. You have an opinion, and that's part of how you build your thing.
Yeah, there's no. I mean, John is right. I mean, it's like your cholesterol. You know that ad that has its two causes. One is your genealogy, and the other is your eating habits. What?
Your genealogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your genetic
makeup. I understood.
Careful, she's on a chair this morning. I erased her note. She just put her hat on.
Yeah,
and she is Miss Science.
What was the note?
I don't know.
You need a Wednesday night from that person. We need one all the time. We need just last night. Volunteers accepted.
Can we go back to... No, there's no question that obviously part of your makeup is made up of your genetic history. But then coupled with that is, and your genetic history, now that's a good one. I mean, that's another reason to trust your judgments and self. So the point is, and the reason we're talking about this is that the scriptures declare that one witness is not reliable. Now, it's in the law. Let's look at it in the law. Go to Deuteronomy 17. And it's all over the law, but this is just one. Verse 6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Now, and it goes, in Matthew 12, it's let's just see it in the New Testament so you understand that it's, I didn't write down all of them. There's a jillion of them that say this, but.
It's interesting that the witness says they have to put their hands on the person that they're.
Did I say, what did I say? It's Matthew 18, I'm sorry.
18?
Yeah. It says, if thy, in verse 15, it says, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Do all of you have it marked, or have we ever studied this, that against thee is not in the text? It's just shall trespass against, shall trespass, period. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if thou shalt, if he shall hear, thou shalt hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear, then hear thee. Then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If you accept it, even in navigation and everything. I mean, in the work that I did when we were trying to figure out where the location of an earthquake or an atomic bomb blast was, I mean, you had to have at least three witnesses. Otherwise, you can't tell. The same with triangulating for navigation, anything. And so, but somehow the human being is conceived so that for him or for her, one witness is enough. And so you build your life based on one witness. And you a lot of times you think you have other witnesses, but they're unreliable. And so if we really looked into this, we would find out that our entire being is made up illegally, because it's made up of just one witness, our thoughts.
What's that word that has to do with you go back and you reconstruct events and fill in holes, but you're not consciously lying?
It's called lying.
No, there's some term for that. And then the other thing is about your eyesight, where your brain fills in the blind spot where the...
Well, I'm when I was electrocuted, that's a great thing. When I there's a hole, I can't see my hand. But I don't know I can't see my hand, because when I was electrocuted, it burned my eyeball. And so there's a whole quarter blind spot up here that I make up. And now it's okay over here and okay over here, but I can't see in that one quadrant. Well, but I don't know I can't, because I make it up. It goes on and on and on. We could talk about this for 20 years. The idea that every idea that you have, especially... you know, the ones that you make up based on your own imagination and your own ideas. And are you back here?
Huh? Yeah, I'm thinking about ideas that I make up.
As you're...
I'm not looking to hear you. And the thing is that you quickly forget that they're made up. You think they're real.
Remember? Yeah.
And the lawsuits, when you and others had to recount things from our previous life, and you find out they're not what you thought was real isn't real, or Gary's remembered from his childhood.
Yeah.
You really believe it, but it's still not true.
Can everybody accept that? That you lie? You lie to yourself?
Yeah.
Is there anybody that want to really defend themselves? I don't want to spend a whole year on this.
Are you thinking of anybody in particular?
Huh?
Are you thinking of anybody in particular?
Well, Harry lies constantly.
I believe it's not a lie.
He's in the.
Betty taught me that.
Well, it's a whole Arab mentality. I mean, if the spoken word has the weight of fact, so if he says it, God damn it, it's true. And it's just. That's why the United States has never been able to understand Middle Eastern foreign policy, because they can't believe. They can have, you know, Saddam Hussein is being wiped out and his country is being ravaged, and he and his PR guy up there saying we have a great victory. But it's not in that culture, that's not lying. But in our culture, it's lying, but we do it anyway. But my point to you is this. Every aspect of your life, you make almost always with just one witness. And that one witness is stronger than the Word of God. Can everybody comprehend where I'm coming from here? But it's critical that you understand that as a believer, if it doesn't have two or three witnesses, it is meaningless. It is, you owe it absolutely nothing. You owe your thoughts and your feelings nothing unless there are two or three witnesses. That's the predicate for a community. But if you hold in your judgments, then there can be no community. If you hold in your ideas and you know, you're doing it. Good for man to, it's not good for man to be alone, but for me it is. It doesn't matter whether you have, you know, the optimistic theology or the pessimistic theology. It's the point of it. It's an ology, and ologies can't stand against the cross. I mean, that's why I studied so tremendously, many hours and years and days and weeks and. Because I did not trust the revelation that I had seen. Not only did I not trust it, I did not like it. All right.
It can't just be any two other people you pick to be witnesses.
Of course not. You have to have witnesses according to the law. That's why I.
I want Gary and John to join the PSU.
That was just yesterday.
No, but I get these ideas. I might tell somebody, "Oh, that's great." You know, you'd love
to have whatever. Well, I mean, that's just. No, but that's what you do. And when we did the high place stuff, I mean, the worst thing that could happen was if somebody, you know, got mad at me because I thought I was picking on somebody else. And for some reason, I could tell when that mental alliance was made, if you remember. And then all of a sudden, the target shifted. Because the whole idea, if we believe the scriptures, then we're supposed to live each day as if it is judgment day. And the purpose of going through that whole exercise was to find out how much that we lie about who we think we are. And maybe we don't even purposely lie, but we forget. We block out because the template will not let us remember that because it destroys the golem that you've made. So the template only lets you remember the things that agree with this being.
I was thinking of this in terms of picking up your cross or denying yourself. It's like I just realized that kind of first step, you have to pick up the cross in this area, and I pass around that one and pick up the cross someplace else, and then I can say I picked up the cross, but I didn't do the first step. So it's like everything is tainted, and all you got is another religion.
You got menstrual rags.
Yeah,
because you will automatically convince yourself of your rightness.
Yeah.
Now, Let's go on. You ought to look at this and be honest. Have the intellectual integrity to know that you cannot trust your mind. That's what Paul said. He's not a debtor to any part of his mind or his emotions. And yet, that's what frustrates me so much, is because I see that you're still a debtor to what your thought process. And it's, and again, as I've said so often, if your boundaries are sufficiently limited, you can prove to yourself anything. And that's what this evil one does. It always limits the parameters so that you can define and be right in that limited space. But the Holy Spirit then continually takes you and puts you in smaller and smaller parameters. Purposefully. He's giving you over to yourself to let you think you're right and right and right and right and right and right, and pretty soon you're right and alone in a little closet. Instead of expanding the pegs of the tent out to the edge of the very existence to see whether or not the things that you think can withstand two or three witnesses. And the primary witness has to be the Word of God. That's why these idiots that say, well, God told me. I mean, John gave me an article from the New York Times Sunday Magazine about this whole new phenomena that's just going like wildfire over the country called workplace ministry. And it was over and over and over this issue that, well, God told me that I was supposed to pray for you, or God told me this, or God told me that. And it becomes common. It becomes commonplace for that statement to happen. And so pretty soon you don't know the difference between what something you thought up and what God told you. Because you don't demand two or three or four or five witnesses. And that's what I'm trying to get to you to see is the process of the way that happens is not dependent on your ability. It's endemic because of the curse. It has to always move toward you being right, somebody else is wrong. I mean, a perfect example. I'll pick on Michael today. Michael picked up Terry yesterday Terry's, she's wonderful. She tries to help, but she tries. And so she said to Michael, what would you like for lunch today? And here we have like a jillion people here. The orders are stacking up. And Michael goes back there and tells her that he wants eggs and stuff in the eggs and all kinds of stuff. And I said, no. And he got a little teed at me. Yeah, that's what I found. No, I told her not to make any special orders unless they're available on the board for everybody. Because she can't do it, but she'll always agree to it. And that was that was Michael's issue was, well, it was her idea. Oh, because you're such a wonderful person. No, but that's a perfect example. You don't have, it's not love. I mean, Michael managed to convince himself it was love, but my God, this place was packed. And she was just going crazy back there. And he came in, but was ordering his eggs, and I said no, and he got very mad at me. What right does he have to do that?
I gotta say something. When I'm going around, just caught up in my thoughts, my own ways, it seems like everybody sees that, and nobody's saying anything. I mean, I just sense, that might just be my mind too, but I just.
It's again, what's your purpose of your mind? The purpose of your mind is to lie and steal and to cause you, ultimately the purpose of your mind is to cause you to be alone. And so there's nothing, whether it's your feelings or whether or not that somebody isn't speaking to you because you think they should be mind readers, or but either way, either of those scenarios made you alone. And God is crying out to you. It says it's not good for man to be alone. If you have thoughts, say them. Talk to somebody. Mind reading isn't a gift of the Spirit. What? No, it's not listed there. Well, again, can you see what that is? Here I am over in my own little world, creating my own little universe, and it's their fault. It's a classic. It doesn't work that way. That's why vulnerability is the only way, because everything else is leprosy of the forehead. And leprosy of the forehead causes you to be forever alone. You can't even be with other lepers. And leprosy of the forehead is the way you're thinking. You're thinking alone towards self-realization. And it's not just you, this is for everybody. And that leprosy of the forehead isn't, I mean, it's revealed massively in the scriptures, but nobody's going to go, you know. I mean, on occasion I might holler at somebody about it, but I'm not going to come around and say, oh, I'm reading your mind and this is what you're doing. You've got to see that the weapons of your warfare are, the warfare is against you, not against the other people.
You know, I understand that, what we're just talking about. It's just like in some of the situations that I've had, you know, like you've had meetings done and all, you say, you know, if y'all see something. And it's about exhorting one another where it's called today. But, you know, I would take that, you know, like, you know, I mean, I've had the same thoughts. Like, if people see they're going something,
it's their fault.
Then, right, you know, and they don't call me on it, you know.
Then you've got a license. You got a 009 license.
Yeah,
I know. It's not just you and Michael. It's everybody does that. That's why the predicate for community is commending yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's why I don't know how more I can do this, but or how else, but to make it clear that you've got to say what's there no matter what is going on. I mean, not to get it right or not to be right, but so that you stop living alone in your private little world. The only time you pick your head out is when you want something. I want eggs for lunch. The snake. Am I communicating to anyone? Because otherwise you just sit back and, God damn, oh, he's crazy. Why didn't he talk to me? Right. Blah, 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 blah. Or Harry, used to be. If I didn't nod at Harry and acknowledge his existence, the end of the world came. He was convinced that he was, you don't even remember that probably. You remember? And so what it made me do is just ignore him more. What? You're thinking, I can feel it in my bones.
Well, I'm agreeing with what you said there.
I think it was a little more than that.
It was a bank shot.
I'll tell you what I understand. I remember you talking about how nobody's ever rejected Jesus Christ. They've only rejected the caricature of Jesus Christ. I don't know why that relates, but it does. It's like in him we live and move and have our being. Jesus Christ is. Then there's this little make-believe bullshit.
Golem.
Just make-believe bullshit. Everything outside of that make-believe bullshit is Jesus Christ. And it's like discipleship, life, but discipleship specifically, is nothing more than God using anything and everything to chip away at that false bullshit. I mean, that's just all it is to reveal what's already what.
I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, there's nothing. There's no magic bullet. It's just you are a hunk of quartz in this parable, and in that quartz, in all of us, is a vein of gold, pure gold. And you're convinced your job is to make yourself look like gold. And so you got to be very careful what you say and when you say it, and you can't say fuck. And you, whatever, where did that come from? whatever, you gotta behave in such a way, because otherwise the fact that you're not the gold is going to be exposed. And God's continually, every day since the beginning of time, he's been beating on the gold. I mean, on the quartz. Crushing it away. When you're called to a body, that's the first step. They takes a pickaxe and beats on the rock, and there's a hunk of quartz, and it comes into the group. And then the real crap starts. Because then the beating and beating and beating, until that goal that is seen, that is already perfect and already complete, that's within you, is revealed. And you can't learn about it. You can't. Well, I know what I'll do. If I memorize all these scriptures, if I pay attention, if I go to Bible study, if I do that, no.
Everything besides the gold is dross. And we foolishly worship the dross sometimes as if it had value.
Sometimes?
When we're not there.
No, but and then when the gold is revealed, what happens? Well, then the real bad stuff happens. Then it's heated up to like 2,000 degrees, and then acid's poured on it. But the thing that's the perfect you is already complete. It's already there. It doesn't need anything. In fact, any attempt that you make to help it is only going to slow down the process. That's why David said in the Psalms, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," because he knows his identity is the gold, not the quartz. And the rod and the staff are beating the crap out of him, and he's saying, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Even though I'm walking through this valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear nothing because I know who I am. And that's what every word in the Bible is about, if you can open your eyes and see it. It's about revealing the gold that's already existent within you. But we've got to negotiate. And the point, the reason one witness isn't sufficient is because the one witness, because of the curse, the one witness is always going to try to paint the quartz to look like gold. Fool's gold. Does that communicate to anybody?
Meetings will continue until morale improves.
I quit. What?
Jim's not biting on that one yet.
It's only over when you take the microphone.
Sometimes not then.
Sometimes that's just when it gets started. Take a big guy.